This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Here he is throwing to the end zone. He's got a touchdown pass to Jaden Reed. Packers on the board again.
Yeah, that gave them a 17-3 lead in the second quarter. This game, never in doubt. The opener at Lambeau, Packers, Lions, and it went all Green Bay's way. No Aaron Glenn as a defensive coordinator, no Ben Johnson as an offensive coordinator in Detroit, and it showed. Jared Goff got sacked 4 times in the game. He was 31 of 39 for 225, but a lot of that came with them down by a lot in the game. Green Bay was solid throughout and very good defensively. What was interesting about this game is that the time of possession advantage was clearly in Detroit's favor. Detroit ran 18 more plays than Green Bay did. Green Bay generated 27 points on just 47 offensive snaps. Josh Jacobs rushed for 66 yards. Jordan Love threw for 188 on 16 of 22, but 2 touchdowns. Had a very high QBR in the game. Protected the football, as did all of the Packers. And defensively, they got after it. Parsons had a sack, had multiple pressures in the game. You had also Rashawn Gary, who is an absolute stud, with a sack and a half in the game as well. Packers beat the Lions 27-13. I was reading something about this game where the Packers last year in their NFC North games were outscored in the first half 99-40. And so their opportunities in those NFC North games were really difficult because of their starts. They got a good start in this one, and they won their 13th consecutive home opener, the longest such streak since the Dolphins won 13 in a row in home openers back in the 70s and the 80s. Washington's next opponent, Thursday night, the Green Bay Packers start 1-0. Let's go to MetLife for Aaron Rodgers against his team of the last 2 years, the New York Jets.
For Boswell, for the lead, sweeps the leg, 60-yarder! He's got it! Pittsburgh goes in front with 1:03 on the clock.
So I had, had the other screen on Red Zone, and then when games got close, as I'm watching our game on the big screen following the rest of the league, it was an ugly final drive that led to the game winning field goal. They had to kick a 60-yard field goal. They had a first and 10 at the Jet 41-yard line with 2 minutes and 15 seconds to go, and went backwards by 2 yards and had to kick a 60-yarder. Mike Tomlin said about Boswell, the kicker forever in Pittsburgh, he's a serial assassin. He does have a calm way about him. 60 yards, and it wasn't even close. Thing cleared by at least 5, 6, 7 yards. Of course, the story of this game was Aaron Rodgers. Although, really, one of the stories of the game is that this was, other than Baltimore or Buffalo, the highest scoring game of the weekend with the lowest over-under total of the weekend. But Aaron Rodgers looked good. This is something I've spent a lot of the offseason talking about when we have NFL conversations. I think Pittsburgh has a chance to be good because I think they've got a quarterback this year. And most people, I think, believe that Aaron Rodgers is done. And the worst description of Aaron Rodgers recently is that the last 2 years have been a disaster. He's been terrible. Well, he didn't play 2 years ago. I mean, that's just such a terrible way to describe it. And coming off that serious, you know, that serious Achilles injury, he didn't really get into a rhythm until about midway through last year. And then he got Devontae Adams. But as I said during the season last year, the Jets aren't bad because of Aaron Rodgers. They're bad because their defense wasn't good last year and their kicker kept missing game-winning kicks. Aaron Rodgers, when he throws the football, looks like Aaron Rodgers. I'm sorry, he just does. Is he as mobile? No, not at 42 years old. But that offense, with a lot of emphasis on play action and getting him outside the pocket on bootlegs, totally works. He was 22 of 30 for 244 yards, 4 touchdowns. One of those touchdowns was one of the shovel pass forward to Jalen Warren in motion. It might not have been Jalen Warren. But anyway, he's got DK Metcalf. He's got Jonnu Smith. I think Jonnu Smith's going to be big for him. Jalen Warren was the back. I thought he was better than Najee Harris anyway. And the Steelers hold off the Jets 34-32. The big concern for the Steelers would be, why are we giving up so much on defense? The Jets rushed for 182 yards. Breece Hall rushed for 107 yards, 5.5 per carry. Justin Fields rushed for 48 yards, threw for 218 on 16 of 22. Fields had one of the best games of his career. Garrett Wilson, he is a stud, although he did have a chance to hold on to a ball late for a first down, and the ball in his body was separated after a huge hit by Jalen Ramsey. Steelers get a season-opening win in dramatic fashion. Aaron Rodgers looked great. They have the Seahawks this Sunday at home. They are a very short favorite. I think defense looks to be an issue for Pittsburgh this year, and you'd never think that with them. It's just one game, but man, the Jets seem to be, you know, a team that would struggle offensively, and they put up one of the most impressive offensive performances of the entire first week. Let's go to Seattle for the 49ers and the Seahawks.
For the win. He swinged out into the end zone. Wasn't open. Purdy keeping it alive. Brock Purdy lofts one. It is Tungis. Touchdown, San Francisco.
Jake Tungis is the name. That came with just a minute 34 left in the game. It gave San Francisco a 17-13 lead and ultimately the win, as Nick Bosa and a few others disrupted Seattle's last opportunity with excellent defense. I don't know how that guy Jake Moody is still kicking for San Francisco. He missed 2 field goals. He was terrible last year. They've got to replace him. Missed 2 field goals, including a short one. Brock Purdy injured in the game. He probably will not go this coming Sunday against the Saints. Also banged up in the game, George Kittle. He could be out 4 to 6 weeks with a hamstring injury. This was the problem, of course, with San Francisco last year, was keeping people healthy. Look, their schedule, it goes Saints, Cardinals. I think the Jags are improved, so I'm not going to say the Jags at home easy, but they've got the Saints and the Cardinals the next 2 weeks, the Saints on the road. Maybe they can withstand the loss of a couple of key players. In terms of quarterback, and if Brock Purdy doesn't go, it's Mac Jones. He is the backup quarterback. in San Francisco. But the 49ers win 17-13. Outstanding defense. They held the Seahawks to just 230 total yards of offense. Sam Darnold was, you know, not the turnover machine or the sack-taking machine that he's been, but he wasn't that good. Let's go to SoFi for Houston and the Rams.
Stroud, and he's got him underneath. It's caught by Gumbo while he fumbles the ball, and it's loose, and it's recovered by the Rams!
Yeah, that was the end of the game. Houston driving for potentially a game winner. Let me just tell you, the Rams had this game wrapped up as well, but they fumbled the football. I think a tight end, Parkinson, caught it. Receiver Parkinson caught it and was hit, fumbled. It was called incomplete on the field, but it was reversed. Houston took over down 14-9, and they end up giving it back to the Rams in what was a very defensive, low-scoring game. Rams hold on 14-9 in this game. A lot of penalties. But ultimately, when the Rams got the ball back, they were able to run out the clock. Stafford, 21 of 29 for 245, a touchdown, no picks. Kyren Williams rushed for 66 yards. And how about Puka Nacua? 10 catches on 11 targets for 130 yards. Davante Adams in his first game as a Ram, 4 catches, 51 yards. This is a talented football team if they can stay healthy at the quarterback position. They get a win. You know, interestingly, one of the guys we talked about in the offseason as a possibility for Washington, obviously they thought they already had their back in Bill, but Nick Chubb was out there forever. Chubb looked really good. He got the bulk of the carries with Joe Mixon out in Houston, rushed 13 times for 60 yards in the game as the offense struggled really without his running ability to move the football. The Rams beat the Texans in the opener 14-9. Let's go to Atlanta for the Bucks and the Falcons.
Cool. From 44, it is wide to the right. No good.
This was one of those games where there were kicking issues. That was Young Hoku missing the game-tying, overtime-forcing kick from 44 yards out. I mean, he's better than that. On the other side, Chase McLaughlin missed a field goal and an extra point. The extra point would have given Tampa Bay a 24-20 lead and given Atlanta only one way of winning the football game, and that would have been to score a touchdown. In this game, Baker Mayfield threw 3 touchdown passes, you know, only 167 yards. You know, the running backs around the league, there were a couple, but really Bill was way up there in terms of rushing yards because some really good backs in this game, and they did not produce. Bucky Irving, 14 of 37 for Tampa. Bijan Robinson, 12 for 24. I don't know if he's ever had a worse day. And Tyler Algier was 10 for 24. Maybe you could argue the best 1-2 running back tandem in the league with Algier and Robinson, 22 carries, 48 yards. Penix Jr., 27 of 42, 298, a touchdown, no interceptions, sacked just once. His QBR was 83.7. I really like Penix Jr. I think he's going to be an excellent quarterback, but the Falcons lose. The Bucks get off to a 1-0 start. All right, a few more games to get to. We'll come back. We went through Baltimore-Buffalo, if you're wondering, on yesterday's show. We just spent so much time with it. It was all we got through. But there were a few more games, especially late in the day, we'll touch on when we come back. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and theteam980.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's Boomer and Geo. Mornings on the Fan, 101.9 FM.
They're looking for a point guard who's logged a lot of games in the NBA, who is going to run an offense that they trust when Jalen Brunson's on the bench and or if he gets hurt.
Listen to Boomer and Geo on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Today, and it's second and long. Flacco pressure again. Able to somehow get away. The pass deflected and intercepted. Picked off by Jordan Battle. Battle working his way near the 25 before he's dropped. Fannin on the tackle, but Battle with the acrobatic pick to set the Bengals up in Cleveland territory.
Yeah. Poor Joe. On Sunday, the Browns should have won this football game against Cleveland. I talked about on Friday how a lot of these survivor picks tend to go down. The big, heavy survivor plays tend to go down in week one. Last year, it was Cincinnati against New England. This year, I think probably people had Denver, people had Cincinnati, and both of them were in some peril. Listen to this. The Cincinnati Bengals in the game against Cleveland in the second half of the game generated 2 yards of offense. Two in the second half of the game against the Cleveland Browns. Overall, the Cincinnati Bengals, this vaunted offense, this is the NFL for you. In a nutshell, like everything you're convinced is true can completely go the other way, at least for a week. The Bengals, one of the best offensive teams, best passing teams last year in the league. They had 141 yards of total offense and 2 yards in the second half. I mean, Joe Burrow, 14 of 23, 113 yards. Jamar Chase, 2 catches for 26 yards. I mean, they could not move the football against Cleveland's defense. The difference in this game, 2 interceptions, neither of which was Joe Flacco's fault. Ball was bobbled by receivers, not to the ground, but up into the air where DBs picked him off. It was one of those where, you know, the receiver has it and then they bobble it. Instead of bobbling it, having it go through their arms and hit the ground incomplete, they bobble it upwards, updraft. And they got picked off. God, I wanted Cleveland to win this game. I had them on the money line. I also had them plus 5.5. And it was that and their dumb kicker. Their dumb kicker in this game missed a field goal and an extra point. And they lost 17-16 in a game, I am telling you, they were clearly the better team. It's only 1 week. You can only do this 1 week at a time, especially early in the season. You can only say, this is what we saw for this game, but it doesn't mean it'll be anything like that the next game. Keep that in mind as we watched our team. Defense dominant in this game. We have no idea what will happen on Thursday night. We're optimistic that the addition of Kinlaw and Goldman and Wise and Will Harris are helpful. Flacco in the game was 31 of 45, 290 yards, had one of the better days throwing the football of anybody in the league. They could not run the football against Cincinnati's defense, which was stout. Terrible defense last year, terrible in every possible way. They held Cleveland to 2 yards per carry. So Flacco was doing it with no run game and no kicker. Cincinnati, very, very lucky to win their opener at Cleveland. They were not the better team. I think it sets up a very interesting Week 2 game. You know, Cincinnati and Jacksonville, the game in Cincinnati, Jacksonville actually looked impressive in their opener, and I think a lot of people believe that Trevor Lawrence is going to do something at some point. New coach, we'll see if Liam Cohen can get it done there. But an interesting game. You know, it's only Week 2, long season, but maybe a big game when it comes down to something like a wild card berth tiebreaker. Cincinnati hosting Jacksonville, they had no business beating Cleveland on Sunday. Cleveland's defense was outstanding. And look, it's not just Myles Garrett, although he did have two sacks and four total TFLs. Myles Garrett, let's just say it, he's the best defensive player in the league, and I'm not even sure it's close. And he's been the best defensive player in the league for a while now, and he is going straight into the Hall of Fame when his career is over. But they added that kid from UCLA, Schwesinger. He had a really good game. They've got Delpit. They've got Newsom back there. They've obviously got Denzel Ward. But they're a problem, you know, defensively, if they can just not mess it up offensively. But yeah, Myles Garrett, two sacks and four total TFLs with five total quarterback hits in the game. That's a game-wrecking player in the league for sure. Let's go to Indy for a surprise, I guess. I guess it's the final score that surprised more than anything else, but the Colts and the Dolphins.
Last year, Jones looking for the touchdown. He's got it! Second rushing touchdown today for Daniel Jones, and the Colts are pouring it on against the Dolphins.
Yeah, at one point in this game, they led the Dolphins early in the fourth quarter 30-0. The final score was 33-8. The Dolphins' defense and their secondary in particular was abysmal. Daniel Jones, again, the quarterback thing being a marathon, and it's really tough. Unless you're really in the league and you know these personalities and you know there's no offense that fits this guy, he's just terrible. But you just never know. Daniel Jones and Shane Steichen, and we'll see. 22 of 29 for 272, a touchdown throwing the football. And he rushed seven times for 26 yards and two touchdowns. Had a QBR of 87.5. That's got to be the best QBR Daniel Jones has had in a few years since that really good season. You know, keep in mind, the Colts have some talent on offense. They've got Jonathan Taylor in the backfield. They have Michael Pittman Jr. They've got Alec Pierce. They've got Josh Downs. They added Tyler Warren, the tight end from Penn State. He had seven catches for 76 yards in his first NFL game. That AFC South, you never know. It always seems to be in play. Jacksonville, Houston, maybe Indy ends up surprising. The Dolphins have major issues. Certainly, it looks like Mike McDaniel's time is coming to an end. And then story today, not that it would be a shocking story in terms of the headline, Tyreek Hill accused of domestic violence by estranged wife. Accusation, but he certainly has some history there. That is for sure. Rough, rough opener for the Dolphins. And the Colts, meantime, get a win that was a smell test selection, and they get Denver in Week 2 at home early in the 1 o'clock window. Speaking of Denver, they opened up at home against Cam Ward in Tennessee.
Four-man rush. Nix pumps, throws, got a man. It's Sutton. It's a touchdown.
Denver won this game. They didn't cover by a half point. Was excited about that. Cam Ward's debut, 12 of 28, 112 yards, six sacks taken, a 7.3 QBR. That looks terrible. Five dropped passes in this game. By the way, Calvin Ridley had three of them. His best receiver. Towards the end of the game, too, they were down 20-12 after a very mystifying decision by Sean Payton. We'll get to that in coaching blunders. And Cam Ward delivered three strikes, and two of them got dropped. Look, I didn't see this whole game. I read, I think it was Ben Solak's review of all of the quarterbacks in new places, and he essentially said the numbers are unkind to Cam Ward. He was better than what the numbers reflect because of some of the drops. But Denver wins 20-12 in this game. They ran the football, man, and you know who they ran the football with? I mentioned Nick Chubb in Houston, who was out there during the offseason. Well, so was J.K. Dobbins. He rushed 16 times, led Denver in rushing attempts for 63 yards, 4 yards per carry. Courtland Sutton got that contract in the offseason, 6 catches, 61 yards. Bo Nix, 25 of 40 for 176 through 2 picks in this game. So a rough game for him, but Denver overcomes Tennessee. They were the biggest favorite on the week one board. They didn't cover, but they got the win, and they're at Indy on Sunday. How about Drake May and the Patriots with Mike Vrabel in his first game against Pete Carroll, Geno Smith, and the Las Vegas Raiders? Let's go to Foxborough.
An all-out pressure look. Here they come. Smith protected, hoisting to the end zone. Wide open. Tucker. Touchdown.
Trey Tucker, that would be. 2 catches, 54 yards, a score. The Raiders had more explosive plays in week one than any team in the league. Geno Smith, 24 of 34 for 362 yards. He does take sacks. Look, Geno Smith is a risk taker. He is a gun slinger. There is no doubt about that. And he is capable of getting hot and producing at a high level. You know, with the interception and 4 sacks comes also a lot of big plays. A 38-yard completion to Brock Bowers, a 36-yard completion to Dante Thornton Jr., a 28-yard completion to Tucker, a 24-yard completion to Jacoby Myers, a 23-yard completion to Jack Beck, the rookie from TCU. They beat the Patriots 20-13. A rough day for Drake May. He was 30 of 46 for 287, a touchdown and an interception, got sacked 11 times in the game. 4 times in the game for 11 yards, had a very low QBR number. Ashton Jeanty, in his debut, 19 carries, 38 yards, 2 yards per carry. Rough day for the running backs around the league for the most part. Travion Henderson in New England, we saw him with the opening kickoff in preseason game number one. 5 rushes for 27 yards, had 6 catches in the game, so they got him 11 touches. But I think New England was a popular pick to be one of those teams that, you know, goes from terrible to maybe a playoff berth. They lose their home opener to the Raiders. Let's not forget, the Raiders come here a week from this coming Sunday for a 1 o'clock game against Washington, and they'll come into that game off of a Monday nighter against the Chargers in Vegas. There's a doubleheader on Monday Night Football this coming week, and that includes a 10 o'clock Eastern start between the Chargers and the Raiders, and then the Raiders come here with Washington having that long break off the Thursday night game. So that's one of those games where West Coast team, short week, 1 o'clock kick on the East Coast, and the East Coast team has had the extra days of rest. It's the best scenario net rest days of the season for Washington, because they do have a significant net rest disadvantage for the season, for the entire year. The other games we didn't put into sort of the highlight section. The Cardinals beat the Saints 20-13 in Kellen Moore's debut as the head coach in New Orleans. Spencer Rattler was the starter there. Kyler Murray threw 2 touchdowns, was efficient, 21 of 29. And they got, you know, 150 yards rushing from not only Murray, but Connor and Trey Benson. I'm telling you, the star, you got Bowers, you got Kittle, you got Kelsey, you got the young guys, Loveland, and you got Warren, but Trey McBride is a legit star at tight end for Arizona. 6 catches, 61 yards in this game. And then the other game was the game that got delayed by lightning for a while and didn't end until well into the 4 o'clock window. But Jacksonville opens up with a 26-10 win over Carolina. Trevor Lawrence, pretty good. Travis Etienne, he was one of those backs a few years ago that I really liked from Clemson. Travis Etienne, who's battled injuries, 16 for 143. Diami Brown in the game had 2 rushes for 6 yards and had 3 catches for 52 yards in the game. They will be using him a lot. There was a lot written about how much they liked Diami Brown after signing him in the offseason. Jacksonville's 1-0. Tough start for Carolina and Bryce Young, who threw 2 picks in the game and lost a fumble as well. All right, so there you go. The entire NFL Week 1 slate. I mean, we had good games. We had a good Thursday night opener. We had a good Friday night game in Brazil. On Sunday early, you had Tampa, the Atlanta come down to the final field goal. Browns-Bengals was close. Steelers-Jets, certainly dramatic. Late window, you had, you know, the Rams and Texans, the 49ers and Seahawks come down to the last possession. And then the Sunday night game was an epic. I mean, it will... you know, that is, we got after this weekend, we have there 272 NFL games in a season, minus 16. We got 256 left, 4+ months in the regular season. Going to be hard pressed, I think, to top Bills Ravens. That's one of those where it's like week one's not a head fake. Those are two really good football teams. And then we had the game last night with the two quarterbacks being kind of the headline and the comeback in the fourth quarter led by J.J. McCarthy in his first start. You know, looking ahead, obviously Washington-Green Bay, a big highlight of the week two slate on Thursday night. But on Sunday, you've got a couple of very interesting games. How about Seattle at Pittsburgh in the 1 o'clock window? And then late Eagles and Chiefs at Arrowhead in the Super Bowl rematch. And then Monday night, doubleheader Bucks, Texans, and Chargers, Raiders, which could be interesting with the way Justin Herbert looked and with the way Geno Smith looked in the opener. All right. We will more likely than not during the course of the season do Around the NFL on Tuesdays. Denton and I rarely got to it on Mondays because it was so dominated by Washington games. Although this Monday, we won't have a Washington game to talk about. All right. Want to open up phone lines at 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. The first NFL weekend is in the books. Week two of college happened as well. What did you learn from the weekend? What did you learn? Tell me something in all of the football watching over the weekend or the game you went to on Sunday in Landover. What did you learn from this last previous football weekend? 301-230-0980. I think it's hard to learn a lot from week one, but I have a couple of things that I'll mention when we come back. But phone lines are open, 301-230-0980. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980, the team980.com. We are free and live on the Odyssey app. And don't forget that Window Nation right now has a great deal going on. In fact, it's the most popular deal of the year that Window Nation offers. Buy 2, get 2 free, and don't pay anything for 2 years. So if you've been thinking about new windows, my recommendation is to pick up the phone, dial 866-90-NATION, or go to windownation.com. When they ask you how you found out about Window Nation, please mention my name. They'll take really good care of you. They'll schedule immediately a very convenient in-home estimate. It's free of charge. They don't pressure you. They don't obligate you to anything. You'll actually find out which windows in your home need to be replaced. But then you can make the call. You can shop the offer. I don't think you'll find a better offer than buy two, get two free with no money down, no payments, and no interest. You won't pay anything until the year 2027. You're not going to work with a better company than Window Nation when it comes to the product or customer service. They've got over 45,000 five-star reviews. They've got a 96% customer satisfaction rating. 96% of their installs require no follow-up service. You're going to be working with a company that was recently ranked highest on Forbes's list of best window installation companies. You can trust Window Nation, I promise you, for high quality, affordable windows. Hurry, this sale ends at the end of the month. Don't miss out. Call them at 866-90-NATION or head to windownation.com.
All right, it is Tuesday, September 9th, and here's what's happening. The Vikings, they completed the comeback on Monday Night Football to beat Caleb Williams and the Chicago Bears 27-24 from the Windy City of Chicago at Soldier Field. The Jacksonville Jaguars are trading Tank Bigsby to the Philadelphia Eagles in exchange for fifth and sixth round picks in the year 2026. This marks the fifth trade that the Eagles have made since mid-August. And the Nats, they beat the Marlins by a score of 15-7. Cade Cavalli with a solid performance, five innings pitch, giving up only six hits and two earned runs. He notches another win on his belt and improves to 3-1 on the season. Josh Bell's hot streak continues, hitting his third home run in his last two games. Tonight, the Nats will take on the Marlins to continue their series. Mitch Parker on the bump versus Adam Mazur. First pitch at 6:40. Nats on deck with Charlie and Dave at 6:10. Also on the team 980, the Mystics, they take on the Liberty 25-17, taking on 16-27, the Mystics, at 7 p.m. right here on the team 980. This update is sponsored by the team 980 YouTube page. Just open the app tab in the team 980, hit subscribe. Kevin Sheehan is live every day from 10 to 1. You can catch Denton's office throughout all of football season. Don't forget to hit the like button whenever you do decide to join us, and turn on notifications to stay up to date on all things DC sports. And that is what's trending.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's Boomer and Geo. Mornings on the Fan, 101.9 FM.
They're looking for a point guard who's logged a lot of games in the NBA, who is going to run an offense that they trust when Jalen Brunson's on the bench and or if he gets hurt.
Listen to Boomer and Geo on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, what'd you learn from this past weekend of football? If you want to go baseball, that's fine. The Nats, by the way, had a big outing against the Marlins. The Nats have very quietly, because it's football season, won 6 of 7. They hammered the Marlins 15-7. What a day for Josh Bell, who switch hit his way to a 4 of 6 for 6 RBIs, 2 home run night against the Marlins. All right, I have learned two things. I think week one in the NFL is always hard, but I do have one NFL, and I've also got one college thing that I learned. 301-230-0980. What'd you learn from this past weekend? So number one for me is that Robert Saleh was easily the best coordinator hire of the offseason. The former head coach in New York for the Jets, but remember, also the former defensive coordinator for Kyle Shanahan in San Francisco. When he left to take that gig, they hired Steve Wilks. I don't know why they got rid of Steve Wilks, because they were pretty good with Steve Wilks, but they promoted Nick Sorensen. They weren't good defensively last year. It's only one game. I'll give you the numbers. It's only one game. I get that. But they completely shut down Seattle, held them to 230 yards, 13 points, turned them over twice, 3-for-10 on third down. A rough day for Seattle's offense. Defensively, you have some talent, obviously, with Fred Warner and Nick Bosa, etc. But this is what Fred Warner said about having Robert Saleh back in the building. It's huge. I've talked about it all offseason. Just the confidence that you have as a player with such a dialed-in coach like that. It was great, again, having him back on the sideline and making adjustments as the game went along. Robert Saleh in San Francisco is huge. The 49ers have to stay healthy. They've got some talent, but they will be a much better defensive football team than they were last year with Robert Saleh as the D coordinator. The other thing that I learned from this past weekend is that it's a little bit early, in fact, way too early, for Michigan quarterback Bryce Underwood. Five-star, committed initially to LSU. Then there's the whole story of Portnoy and all the money to get him to Michigan. And in his first big spot on Saturday night in Norman against Oklahoma, he looked terrible. Now, it's his second start. It's his first real one. I'm not saying that Bryce Underwood isn't going to end up being the top pick in the NFL draft down the road, because that's what people believe about Bryce Underwood. He's that gifted. But one of the things that was so obvious in watching Michigan with this true freshman at quarterback is he doesn't see it. He is absolutely right now overwhelmed. Now, Oklahoma and their coaching staff will do that to you defensively. But Bryce Underwood did not look like the guy that's ready to do it now this year for Michigan. And if they ride out 2025 with Underwood, it's going to be a long year for Michigan. Maybe it's the right thing to do, and next year he ends up being the guy and gets all the experience. But, you know, they got to go on the road to face Nebraska in 2 weeks. They've got to go to Southern Cal. They got to go to Michigan State. They have to obviously play Ohio State. And this kid looked completely out of it and not ready for it in prime time on Saturday night. Those are the two things that I learned. What about you, Max?
So one big thing that I learned from this weekend, and I'm going to go kind of around the league, but this is not really local to Washington, but there's this one guy that I've been really high on, and this ties into my my Bucks Super Bowl prediction. Emeka Egbuka burst onto the scene this weekend, and he looked so good, catching two touchdowns. Not only that, but just the routes he was running, like, he just looked great and really crisp with just the steps he was taking. So right. That was one big thing that I learned. And then the other thing that I learned, I'm bringing it back to Washington, that defensive line has been overhauled, and the league is on notice. I think that this defense, I understand, it played the Giants. The Giants don't exactly have the best offensive line, especially without Andrew Thomas. But they weren't doing any of this against that offensive line last year with the completely different look that they had. Now, Daron Payne is in a contract year. He looks hungry. Javon Kinlaw looks just as hungry. I think Johnny Newton said to him prior to the game, and he said this on G&D yesterday, he told him, you have the opportunity to be one of the best defensive tackles in the league. All you got to do is go do it. And he looks like he's on that path, and he looks like he's ready to go. So Washington's defensive front, back.
It is certainly different, and it's a lot bigger. Tomorrow night, Thursday night, will be a big test. Stan in Jersey, what'd you learn from this past weekend?
I learned that coaching, as usual, is suspect. I got a couple mistakes that I'd like to go over with you. I'm surprised you haven't mentioned them.
Go ahead, quickly, because I want to get to some other callers. But are you going to start with Sean Payton?
No, I'm not going to start with Sean Payton. I'm actually going to start with Kevin O'Connell yesterday.
Last night?
The end of the half.
I didn't, yeah.
He had first and he had first and 10 at the Bears 41 with 11 seconds and kicked a 59-yarder. He needs to throw the ball out of bounds a couple times to make that the last play of the half. If he misses, the Bears had one timeout, and they would have been at the 48-yard line. There was only going to be 6 seconds left, but the Bears would have had one play to call the timeout and then kick their own field goal. Because
Kevin if Collins he misses it, the ball's at the 49-yard line. It's at midfield, 6 seconds to go. He kicked it with 11. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, yeah. Should have absolutely run another play and just rolled McCarthy out and had him throw the ball out of bounds outside the pocket.
Yeah,
and then kicked
he needed
it.
To make sure that was his last field goal attempt. That's a bad job.
Agreed. What's your next one?
Harbaugh on Friday night to end the half. You know when the kid ran out of bounds and it stopped the clock and gave the Chiefs the possession to kick the field goal at the end of the first half?
Yes. Yeah. Right, yeah, the Hampton, the rookie from North Carolina. Yeah.
Yes, this is a problem with Harbaugh. He did the right thing, but he did the wrong thing. They were third and 16 at the Kansas City 26, right? So they did the right thing by running the ball. You can't run a stretch play where you risk a holding call or the guy running out of bounds.
Yeah,
If you just run a sneak or even take a knee, I don't even care if you take a knee and you lose a yard. There's very little difference.
Justin Herbert, third and 16 with 54 seconds to go, trying to continue to try to get six?
Yeah, well, you can, but I mean, you can't. The probability of getting that third and 16 is awful. So I like the run call. I would have just snuck it and tried to get a no gain and then kicked a 43-yarder.
Yeah, the Chiefs didn't have any timeouts left. Yeah, no, I got you. One more quickly, because I got to get to other calls. You know how much I love talking to you, but we're tight on time.
I hear you. The Dan Quinn at the end of the first half, the call was right on the on doing the draw. It needed to be done on first down. I can't believe he did not do that on first down.
Let me just tell you something. You know who made the play there? It was Carter. Carter makes an unbelievable play. That thing's an easy first down. You're clocking it. It probably is a touchdown if Carter's not on the field.
Yeah, but there was 28 seconds and a first down play. That's
the next one. Yep.
Yeah, and you risk exactly what happened by doing.
Well, they may have liked the down and distance for the QB draw. They went empty. They ran it a couple of times, and I also don't know if that's a check, on that particular play. But it certainly looked like.
Yeah, I agree.
Thanks, Stan.
I like the call. I like every. All right.
Yeah, appreciate it. Let's go to Ross in Tampa. Ross, what'd you learn from this past weekend?
What's good, Kevin? Here's what I learned from this weekend. For college, man, can you drive up to Baltimore and tell Todd Monken to take the job back at Georgia? Because, my goodness, ever since he left Georgia, we should have blown Austin Peay out like 85.
Wasn't there a rain delay or a lightning delay that sort of messed up and mucked up that game or not? Am I thinking about some other
game? It was. All over the Eastern Shore, it was a rain delay. But, like, come on, Kevin. This is Austin freaking Peay versus Georgia. And, like, when it was him in 2021-22, a lesser opponent, an outmatched Power 5 guy, they're going to get blown out by 28-plus points. 28-6.
They're favored at Tennessee, just so you know, Saturday afternoon. They're favored.
By, like, what, 3.5 points or something
like that? 3.5, 4.
I'm nervous about that game. Their new quarterback's looking pretty nice.
Yeah.
And for the pros, listen, this is the second time a kicker in Cleveland's cost me money. The first one, he was the guy who was twirling his hair with us in Washington, Zane Gonzalez, back in 2018.
Yeah.
And the whole gambling thing, man, when I got like a 5-leg parlay and that's the only one that lost me the money.
Cleveland had no business losing that game. No business losing that game. That was one of those that, you look back on it. If they play that, both teams play the same way, kicker and just the bad luck of the interceptions that got bobbled up into the air. It was unfortunate because I had Cleveland on the money line. Thanks, Ross. Taylor, go ahead. What'd you learn from this past weekend?
Hey, what's going on, Kevin? All right, look, the NFL week one, week two, and week three, and week four are probably the most sloppiest weeks of the NFL. There were so many penalties. There were over 240 penalties out of all the NFL games in week one. Last year, there was roughly 206. And you're talking about penalties. These guys don't play in the preseason. These guys need to start playing more football because the first 2 weeks get really, really sloppy. I mean, the NFL's on pace for 122 more offensive holding calls than last year. Delay of games, 121 more than last year. Defensive holding, 60 more than last year. So I know it's just week one, but the NFL looks super sloppy all across the board. We have to do better.
Interesting. So was the 240 a record? I didn't see that.
I don't know if it was a record. I couldn't find the record, but I do know these are creeping up constantly in week one, week two, and week three as, you know, again, guys just aren't playing more football. A lot of these calls are offensive holding, defensive holding, the delay of game. I mean, these are obviously things you would work out, these kinks in the preseason. So I don't know what's going on with the NFL refs.
Yeah, I mean, look, there were 18 penalties, 18 total in our game, 12 Washington, 6 on the Giants. And I'm just looking to see the nature of the penalties. The penalties on Washington this weekend, 6 offensive, 5 defense, 1 special teams. Yeah. All right. Yeah, thanks. We're used to that. You know, the doing away with the preseason in terms of players playing, these are games essentially that are extensions of the preseason with one exception. They count. Hal in Kensington, finish it up for us. What did you learn from this past weekend? Hal, you there?
Yeah, can you not hear me, Kevin?
I got you now, Hal.
Can you not? All right, sorry about that. First of all, your callers are really smart. Those last two callers really taught me a lot, so very impressive. I learned that it's fun to root for the local team. I haven't rooted for the Washington team since the last millennium. I just looked at when the former owner bought the team. And I know you and I don't agree on this, but I prefer I don't like the new name, but I like it better than the old one. So I'm enjoying rooting for this team, started rooting for them again last year.
Kind of like a new team for you.
It's a new team for me, and I was always a Giants fan, but I was very happy to see Washington win Sunday. So just a personal note there to end this segment. Thank you.
Thanks,
Kevin,
Al.
As always.
Appreciate it. Joe Beninati is going to join us next. Joe has called Maryland's first two football games, where freshman Malik Washington is a true freshman starter at quarterback, highly rated coming in. We'll get Joe's thoughts on the Terps next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab 3 of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's Boomer and Geo, mornings on The Fan, 101.9 FM.
They're looking for a point guard who's logged a lot of games in the NBA, who is going to run an offense that they trust when Jalen Brunson's on the bench and or if he gets hurt.
Listen to Boomer and Geo on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.